Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He is worthy. Amen. Anybody need that worship this morning? Praise God. I don't know about you, but I sure did. I felt like the worship came from a place of strength this morning. Did it not? I know there's probably not as many in this room as there were usually maybe in past weeks, but it felt, maybe they cranked up the volume, I don't know, but it felt strong to me this morning. And just with everything that's going on in the world, I just feel like we all needed some of that this morning. Do you know that actually our the songs that we sing, the verses, the lyrics that we confess, has the power to change everything? If that clicks with your spirit, what you're saying to yourself, because we all know that there's a short distance between what comes out of your mouth to your ear, can change your whole walk, can change your whole life. I was at a wedding last night, as I sometimes find myself, as my wife and I run a photo booth rental company. And sometimes the guys that we have cannot are not available to work it, so the owner has to go out and do it himself, which I don't like to do, but now and then you have to do what you got to do, right? But just remind you that the songs that are played there, they can create kind of an atmosphere that's fun, that's joyful, that's a counterfeit of what we did this morning. You know, everything that the world tries to do is just a counterfeit of what we can get right here in his presence, amen? And it can be fun, and weddings should be fun. They should be a good time. But at some point, the lights go on, and it's over with, and everyone leaves, and it's cold outside, and nothing's really going to change. You can have a good time. You can have a good experience. You can make a bit of a memory. But the words that you're confessing in the worldly songs that are played and sung and danced to are not going to do a thing to change where you're at in life and what your walk is like. In fact, it could, depending on the song, it could make things worse. Whatever you're confessing could be a horrible thing if you listen to what some of the lyrics of the songs actually are. But I'm just thankful that we praise a God who changes everything. We sang, I just wrote down this line, that he's the Lord of every victory. Every single victory that we have in life, small or big, we've got to own it up to him. Amen? He is responsible for those things. Promotion, the Bible says, clearly comes from our God. Every good thing comes from him. So you've had a promotion, if you've had a salary increase, if you woke up this morning, if you had no car trouble on the way to church this morning, like unfortunately someone did here. He's the Lord of our every victory, small or large, amen? Praise God. Can't help but notice Wendy's back there. I noticed that Facebook bleeped me this morning. It's her birthday today. Everyone wish Wendy Gerald a happy birthday when you see her. And also, I know Gentry Rosario is a frequent flyer for our Facebook feed up in Alaska. It's her birthday as well, right? If that's a real, I know some people lie about their Facebook birthday. They don't want Mr. Zuckerberg knowing too much about them, like myself. But I think it's a real one. Yeah, it is. David Hemsworth too. Wow, praise God. What a special day. That's right, I did see that. He's a teenager now, right? Little David, wow. Wonderful Jesus. Pastor Josh and family are spending some time in Kentucky. Was that the bluegrass state? Is that what they call Kentucky? Is that right? Yeah? So that's where he is this morning. I'm Pastor Chris, my wife and I, who is leading worship this morning. We're usually downstairs. We're pastors of the Sunday school ministry. Just want to let you know that things are well with our children downstairs. They are a fun bunch. They are a creative and excitable bunch, as most kids are. And they're a faithful bunch. I would have to say, I was just thinking about this morning, there's a strong, probably like ratio. I would say probably 75 to 80% of those kids down there are baptized, are saved, have a real clue of what's going on. Yeah. Have a real understanding of what they're doing and what their faith looks like. And so when Josh asked me to speak this morning, I have to take from, you know, what we've been doing down in Sunday school. That's where my heart is. That's where my study has been. Before I do that, I also just wanted to mention, reminded Pastor Cordeau. I think he's up in the hospital in Albany still. So just keep him in your prayers. I know he's well enough to keep his phone updated and make posts online. So he's hanging in there. I think he's going to be out soon. Praise God. But just keep him in your prayers this week. Thank you, Jesus. So our Sunday school, last week we talked about, we're kind of we're a little ahead of ourselves. We're approaching Easter, right? So it's kind of in line with that message and Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And we know that for everything, for most things that happened, there was a prophecy that came before the actual thing in the Old Testament. And so this is true for this as well. This came in Zechariah 9:9. It's prophesied how Jesus is going to make his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It says this: "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes to you. He is righteous, having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey." So that's what we talked about last week in our Sunday school. And I'm going to give you the Mark 11 version of how it actually plays out in the New Testament. This is Mark 11. "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, Bethpage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose and bring it. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it, and immediately he will send it here.' So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there and said to them, 'What are you doing loosing the colt?' And they said, and they spoke to them just as Jesus has commanded. So they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them out on the road. Then those went before, and those who cried out, saying, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.'" So it goes on a little bit, but I'm going to stop there. So to keep these, you got to keep these kids engaged down there. If you can't just keep going on and on in scripture, because you're going to lose them. You got to keep it moving. Jake knows, he's been down there a few times with me. You got to go from, you know, a little scripture to activity to video, back to this, back to the Bible. Look this up. You got to keep things moving to keep the attention. So this is what I did last week. I said, one of the things I really try and press into our kids is that these are not just stories that you have. All kids have all these storybooks. We have a bunch at home. And they can tend to think that what we read in the Bible is akin to a made-up story. And I try and really press into them that, no, these are real-life events that happened. This is an account. This is like journalism, so to speak. This happened. It just didn't happen recently. It happened a while ago. This is the history of what happened. So please don't think that this is some cartoon that you're reading. And so I presented it in a modern day version as in my interpretation of what the modern day version of this would look like. And so I said something like, this is what Jesus told them, you know, if this were happening in 2022, when they were getting close to Kingston, near Lake Katrine, near the town of Ulster, you could say, you know, put yourself in the story. And they say to go into the village opposite you. Well, it doesn't get much more opposite than Rhinebeck if we're here, right? I think that's going to Rhinebeck. And as soon as you get to Market Street, now I've gone back and forth this part, you'll find a Toyota Corolla at the corner of 9 and Market Street that's never been driven before. Unlikely. We could just say maybe with low miles on it, but the keys are going to be in it. Yeah. And I went back and forth and said, well, this is a donkey. You know, it's not. No offense to those who have a Toyota Corolla. I have one too. It's the most dull, plain, vanilla car, but it does the job, much like I assume this is, you know, donkey is kind of like a middle class family possession, you know, and I feel like that's what I have as well. I just need to get it to point A to point B, no fancy. But maybe it's more like a moped. Maybe that's more appropriate. What do you guys think? Moped or Corolla? I don't know. But nonetheless, moped feels better, right? The keys are in it. And if anybody asks why you're going to get on that moped, which someone in Rhinebeck is definitely going to ask what you're doing, you're just going to say the Lord has need of it. And guaranteed the cops are going to be called on you. You say that. Now imagine someone says that to you and it's your car. You see someone going into your car. Pretty sure you're going to call the cops too. I don't think this happens like it does back then. So that's where I kind of stopped the interpretation, but you could go on with it as far as you wanted to. You could go, you know, then they're crossing back over with the bridge and people are laying down. I don't know, what's the modern day interpretation of laying down palms and robes? I guess clothes. Yeah, cell phones would be a good one. Tablets, just throwing iPads on the road. I guess you could say that. Valuable stuff. And so the point is that, you know, what the disciples did, some might call borrowing without permission, you could say. Others might call it stealing. But that's a valuable possession to a middle-class family. And sure enough, when they went there, somebody questioned what they were doing, right? Somebody did say to them, they said, just as it happened, someone said, what are you doing loosing the donkey? And they spoke just as Jesus had commanded. So they let them go. And so that person, whoever owned that, had a choice in that moment. This is not Jesus asking. These are two guys that supposedly follow him, right? But there must have been something in their eyes or something that the way they spoke, that there was a faith that rose up in this owner of this possession and said, okay. Maybe he said, just bring it back when you're finished. There was an issue of ownership, right? But it's also an issue of lordship. The owner of this, recognized that this thing is just not mine, but I'm going to let it go and have the Lord use it. And so it doesn't say that the owner ever heard of Jesus. We don't know what his status was or what his belief was, if he knew who Jesus was, but he let it go nonetheless. He could have exercised his rights. You know that Jesus won't violate a person's will. He could have just had his own donkey come. He could have had a miracle. He could have turned something into a donkey. He could have turned something into something else. He could do whatever he wants. He's God. But he likes to have people be a part of what he's doing, if you haven't noticed in the Bible. He likes people, ordinary folks, to be a part of what he's doing and see if their faith will rise up and do what he's asked. This happens often. We kind of do see this a bit in modern times, not in reality, but in movies it happens all the time, right? There's always something happening. There's a car chase is about to happen. Someone's running. The good guy, the cop, the hero, the superhero, bad guy gets into a car. All of a sudden, good guy doesn't have a car for some reason. His is crashed or something happens. He needs to take somebody else's. Maybe if he's a cop, he shows the badge and just goes up to a citizen, get out, or pulls him out, right? Doesn't that happen sometimes? I feel like The Rock has done that in some movies. He just pulled somebody out of the car and just get in and take it. That's not what Jesus did. Somebody was asked. Even think back to Mary when the Holy Spirit comes to her and says that, he says, hey, if it's okay, you're going to carry the Savior of the world. She says amen to that. Let it be so as you said. There's a choice there. It might not seem like there was, but there's a choice there. There's always a choice with God. He lets us operate in our free will. This is how it is when Jesus chooses us, right? The Bible says clearly in John 15 that he didn't choose us. I'm sorry, he did choose us. We didn't choose him. He knew us, and he saved us before we even knew who he was or what he's done for us. Thank you, Jesus. This really isn't a new theme as far as the Bible is concerned. It's consistent. But when you're willing, I wrote this down, when you're willing to trust God with what you have, God will bless you more abundantly than you can ever imagine. If you're willing, I'll say it again, when you're willing to trust God with what you have, God will bless you more abundantly than you can ever imagine. We don't know what happened, if the owner of this donkey was blessed in some way, but I assume that he was. I'd like to believe so. But we can look back to the story of Elijah and the widow and find out that she was mightily blessed, right? God sent the prophet Elijah to a widow, and he found her when he got there. She was gathering sticks, right? She was going to make a fire, and she was going to bake some bread with the little flour that she had left. She was getting ready to die with her son. But things happen kind of opposite the order that we would like to think so, or that maybe even we would operate in. It says this in 1 Kings 17. She was on the verge of starvation. It says this, as Yahweh your God lives, I don't have a cake, but a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in the jar. Behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and bake it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Now, when Elijah hears that, you would think that he'd say, all right, you guys just eat what you have. I'll go somewhere else. I'll find something else. But he doesn't do that because that wasn't the instruction from our God. They want to do it in the right order, and there's an order to all this that God has that's opposite our way of thinking. It says, don't be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but make me a little cake first and bring it out to me, and afterward make some for you and your son, which on the surface sounds ridiculous. This is the last of what she has. She's ready to die with her son, ready to just eat this last bit and just starve to death. Horrible and depressing scenario that he's in. But Elijah, who's acting on God's behalf, is doing what he's been told to do. And God says, feed him first. And it turns out it was a test of faith. Put God first and your needs will be supplied. Well, she did what she was asked. She fed Elijah first. And sure enough, no matter how much cooking she did, her jar of meal never ran out. Her jug of oil never ran dry. Now, that's not the only time, is it, either? What about the feeding of the 5,000? He starts with what somebody already has. He starts with what the boy has, a couple of fish and a couple of loaves of bread. He's able to turn that enough into the 5,000. But first, somebody has to give up their stuff. Somebody has to give up what they have, what they are already in possession of. And then there's an order to that, right? The widow in Mark 12. Most certainly, I tell you, this poor widow gave more than all those who are giving into the treasury, for they all give out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, gave all that she had to live on. It's a theme in the Bible. When you're willing to trust God with what you have, God will bless you more abundantly than you can ever imagine. And this reminds me, I can't not touch on giving and tithing a little bit. Maybe you're new here. Maybe you're not sure that this church is different from all the rest that you've been to because they never stop to take an offering. I guess you'd be right in that sense. It's not that we don't receive tithes and receive offerings. We just haven't stopped the service to do it. Probably a couple of years at this point. But I do want to just make mention that there's blessing found in giving and tithing and being people who give offerings above what you would even have or what your bank account looks like. And so if that's something you want to do, we're always open to receive. We have a black box there at the back for cash or checks, and we also have ways of giving online. You can go to our site. But I'd be remiss if I didn't say that there's great blessing in being obedient to God, what he says in the area of tithing and offerings and being generous. I mean, we could spend the rest of the morning giving testimonies from all the folks that are here. I have been blessed by doing so. We could just go on and on for hours probably. And God is so faithful to his word. But it takes us stepping in that step of faith first. It takes us stepping out first. He doesn't give the blessing first. He wants us to give out what we have first and put our faith and trust out in him. Peter even said to Jesus in Matthew 19, Lord, we left everything to follow you. What do we have to show for it? And Jesus has an answer. Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100 times and will inherit eternal life. There's not much a better promise than that than inheriting his eternal life. So I just want to encourage us this morning that never think that what you have to offer is not important, or is not worthy, or is too little, because it's not. This guy just had a donkey, which was, I assume they were a dime a dozen back then everywhere. But this one was the one that God wanted to use. And so whether it's money, time, gifts, service, whatever you may have, God wants to use it. He wants to put it to work in the kingdom. There's plenty of work to do. There's much to be done. And he wants himself to have the glory, but he wants to use us to do it. And you know, there's nothing special about this. Wouldn't that just be the way that Jesus wanted to ride down to Jerusalem? We know that. We've read that in Scripture. He didn't come down on a white horse. He came down as just a regular guy. That's how he came to us on earth as a human. He just came riding into town as a regular person on a regular donkey. That's why I think the Corolla or the moped is fitting, because it wasn't anything fancy. It wasn't a Mercedes. It wasn't a BMW, it wasn't a Lamborghini, Ferrari. It was just something you see all the time, especially back then, right? You probably saw them all the time. You can go home now on your way home and look for all the Toyota Corollas. You'll see hundreds of them probably. They're all out there. But guys, I would just challenge us this morning. If the Lord has need, he said, the Lord said that he has need of this donkey, this specific one. How much more does he have need for his people, his church, his kingdom, his believers, us as Christians? How much more, created in his image, does he have need for us if he has need for this donkey? Come on, guys. He has a need for his people. There is much to be done. There is much work to be done. Just turn on the news, you'll see. Don't turn on the news. Just take a glimpse of the headlines. You'll see enough. How much does he have for us to do? He's in the business of untying people's ropes, breaking chains, breaking yokes. And he needs us. He wants to break us free. The other thing about this donkey is that it was available. God is looking for a people who are available. And I know there's plenty of us that are busy, that have things going on. He also just wants a people who are in the business of saying yes to his things of his kingdom. There's such faithfulness, there's such blessing when you say yes to things. When Pastor Josh asked my wife and I was probably 3 or 4 years ago, there was a need in the Sunday school. There was no head of it at the time. There were people that were doing a fantastic job of leading it, but there was no point person, no pastoral lead. And it wasn't my first reaction to say yes to that. It's like, all right, we'll think about that. We'll pray about that. Come on, how many times is that our response? Or maybe just don't say anything for a while. Pastor Josh is pretty good about that if he asks you to do something that has a lot of weight to it. Say, before you have a chance to say anything, he'll just say, don't let me know now. Just consider it. Talk to your wife. Get back to me. And so there was obviously some conversation. There were some other things that had to be let go of for a season. We had a thriving home group that we had for years. We had to put that to the side for the time being because there's just only so much time in the day with children that are homeschooled. But there's been such blessing in the saying yes to that. I love hanging out with my kids. I wasn't sure how much I was going to like hanging out with your kids. But in fact, I've come to look forward to it every single week. They've blessed us so much. They're an amazing group of kids. And they always have something to say. They have an answer to everything, right or wrong. Praise God. But there's blessing when we say yes to things of the kingdom, not spend too much time thinking about things and considering everything. God likes his people who are available. And maybe if you're like this donkey that's never been ridden on. If you've never done anything in the kingdom, that's okay. It's not too late. It's not too early. Pastor Vaughn used to tell us that, you know, if you've been saved for 30 seconds, then you're in a better place than someone who has no faith, is not saved yet, and you can do something. Want to go on a mission trip? You just got saved yesterday? Sure, let's go. You want to work in the Sunday school ministry? Sure, let's go too. We'll just have to do your background check and a couple other things first. We're protective of that, which we have to be. But I just feel like we're in a season where there's some folks that are going to be loosed, that are going to start to do things maybe that they've only thought about, prayed about from maybe even, you know, decades ago. Maybe somebody was given a word, a call upon their life to do something, but they've just not done it up until now. Has anybody seen the series on TV? I think it's a PBS, so it's probably going to be low numbers on the PBS series. But it's called Around the World in 80 Days. I see one or two hands. Jeremy, really? Wonderful. It's pretty kid-friendly, I'd say. This guy, I think it's based on a book series. I'm not an avid book reader of this sort, but I believe it is. And this guy, he all of a sudden one day he gets a random postcard in the mail with a photo on the front, and on the back it just says coward. And he's just rocked by this postcard that he gets in the mail. This is taking place like in the late 1800s, I believe. And he is just shaken by that postcard he gets in the mail. There's no one as far as who it's from on the back of this postcard. It's just blank. It just says coward. And he's a guy who's really done nothing with his life. He sits in this kind of like men's club all day and just hangs out with his friends. I think he has this amazing house. He has a butler, so he's obviously got money. But he's never done anything. He's never gone anywhere except for like a nearby town for a wedding. And this card just says coward on the back, and he's just rocked by that. And so he's reading some article about how someone says with technology advances, it's believed that you could make it around the world in 80 days. Now, this is just a time where hot air balloons just become invented. There's trains, but that's about it. And so he's talking about this article he's read with his fellow gentleman at the club, and he's saying how it could be done. He believes it could happen. And the other guys are like, it couldn't happen. And if it were to, you certainly couldn't do that. And he's like, having just received this postcard that says coward, he's just like, all right, I'm going to do it. And he sets off that day to go and start. And he has trials and tribulations all along the way. You should check it out if you have some time. But I just thought, here is a guy late in life who all of a sudden, one day he's probably in his 40s or 50s, is going to travel the world in 80 days. And he does it. How much more us as believers, maybe that have never done anything, that haven't done much, I just want to say it's not too late. He can use his people. We've had missionaries through here the past few weeks. From Overland, right? Oscar, Joe, and Lily. And I can't help but think that listening to those folks, there might be a few people out here that have just been stirred by that. And maybe just had a longing to be a missionary since they were a kid or as an adult, but maybe even as someone late in life. Maybe that just stirred you. Don't try and press down those feelings. You've got something stirring up in you because you've heard from one of those missionaries that have come through. Don't try and quiet that. You should do something about that. Maybe it's that you're supposed to give to their ministry, or maybe you're supposed to go yourself. I just feel like there's a handful of people here that are supposed to do something with that. I know we've been generous to them, but maybe there's a few people that are supposed to go. Maybe for a short season, maybe for a long season. Maybe never come back here. I don't know. I don't know what it is. There's just things that I feel the Lord was speaking to me this week. Maybe it's starting a life group. Maybe it's joining a church ministry here. Maybe it's giving just an overwhelming abundance. I don't know what it is. You're qualified to do anything for him. If you believe, then you're qualified. If you've confessed that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, then you're qualified to do something for his kingdom. We're not created to stay tied up to a city gate. Nobody is. That's not humane. You saw an animal tied up somewhere for a long period of time, everybody would be up in arms, wouldn't they? We're not supposed to be there. People are supposed to be free to go and do things for God. And I'll just kind of end with this thought. Remember that song we sang? I think it was while Pastor Andy was here. We sang it quite a few times, that he's the God of miracles. Don't you tell me that he can't do it. Well, as we were singing that, it's just been a thought that's reoccurring. I love that. I love that line, but I changed it a little bit. And I changed it this way. Don't you tell me that he can't use you. Because he can. Come on, folks. If he can use this donkey for his kingdom to bring him into Jerusalem, surely he can use us. Surely he has something for all of us to do. There's a calling upon all of our lives. There's specific things that all of us are called to do that no one else is called to do. And if you don't do them, maybe they won't get done. Maybe they'll be done by somebody else, but maybe there's also very specific things that are only for you specifically to handle for the kingdom. I believe that to be true. Think about the people in the Bible who God has used that were a mess. Abraham, he was not a great guy to start off. God gave him a plan, right, of how he's going to make him a father of many nations. And he tried to add to that plan on his own and not wait for God to, like, intervene on his behalf. Noah, he was a mess. even says after all he saw, you know, with the ark surviving the flood, that he ended up being a drunk in the end. His sons had to carry him around. Moses, he was a mess too. He didn't want to say what God had to say through him. He wanted someone else to do it. Paul, the list goes on. Paul was killing Christians, guys. We wouldn't want to let a guy like that in the church. But he wrote most of the New Testament, or is believed to at least. Don't you tell me that he can't use you. Because if he can use that crew of people, has anybody been watching The Chosen? My kids love to watch that. Thank God, yeah. It's so helpful to just bring reality to what's in the Bible, I feel like. And you just look at the ragtag group of guys that are there. He used them mightily. We're all here because of them, because they told somebody, and they told somebody else, and those people told somebody else. And we're telling other people. He can use all of us. He's got to use all of us. He could have done it a different way. He chose to use his own people. He's God. He could have done anything. He could have done it any way, but he chose to do it this way. He chose to involve his people. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't we just stand this morning? Before we pray, I'll just end with this thought too. I'm sure everyone's been watching what's happening on the news with Ukraine and Russia. Obviously, war is a horrible thing. But as far as purpose, as far as having a purpose and having something to do, I bet that the citizens of Ukraine have never been more united, have never been more on the same page. All the men there, what is it, like 18 to 60, are staying, have to stay. I bet maybe folks who have been just doing nothing in life there, all of a sudden now are probably energized, are just rattled, shaken up, because now there's a real, important, serious purpose. It's not a good thing the way that it came. There's a shaking that's come to them. There's a uniting. We're all called to be united as believers in the church. We all have the same purpose as well. Father, we're so thankful that you're a God who's alive, and a God who is well, and who sees us, who ministers to us, who speaks to us. Father, I just thank you for each and every person, Lord, that's here this morning, that they could have been anywhere else, Father. They could be born for a different time, Lord, but you've chosen to place them, Lord, during this time in 2022 to be a part of your kingdom, Lord, that's here now. A part of your church, Father God, here in Lake Katrine.